a tribute to Joe Murphy. A replay of the most recent episode of Jack Mangan's Deadpan, and the return of the Geek Out segment. It's The Adventures of Indiana Jim, Episode 3, for the week of April 5th, 2008.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from
the cliffs of insanity,
a man who needs no introduction, that international man of geekery, that intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
Hello. Wow, I peeked there. Hello, everyone. This is Indiana Jim, episode 3 of The Adventures of Indiana Jim, which I've already said that. Now, a lot of you may have caught the Tribute to Joe show that's out there, and a lot of you actually probably replayed the tribute show for Joe Murphy. I did not, only because I know that every single listener of mine is already a subscriber to at least one of the many, 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 many shows that put that out there. So I really didn't feel like rehashing it. But upon hearing the tribute show, I remembered or realized what my tribute would be to Joe. And so I'm going to present that here. We also have the return of the Geek Out segment, featuring Flight of the Conchords. So, Philippa Ballantyne, I know you're greatly looking forward to that. I know that was British, but whatever. There's a big fat for everybody, since you all know I'm working on that, right? Yeah, I had a really bad cold recently, so I'm finally back to where I can get on the mic and do something somewhat useful. And I'm presenting something from Jack Mangan. If you listen to Jack Mangan, well, if you don't listen to Jack Mangan, you should. If you listen to Jack Mangan, you heard it. And it's his comments about pod taint, which are to be continued. But they really, really hit home. And especially with things like Balticon coming up. Consider it a word to the wise from a veteran of the pod wars. And that's Jack Mangan for sure. So, those are the three things we're doing this episode. And I'm going to bring you a promo, which I had promised to play for a very special friend of mine, Jack Charles Hutchins, which, I mean, that's not really his name, but hey, it sounds funny, doesn't it? So I'm going to play that. And when we come back, we'll have the... I'm trying to bring up something else here. The tribute to Joe. So anyway, I will get out of your hair here for a second and bring you this special promotion.
Hey everybody, JC Hutchins here. You probably know me from the award-winning Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy or my Ultra Creatives interview series. And you probably know that I'm a shameless, if tactful, self-promoter. Ah, but here's the plot twist. I'm here to promote someone other than me. Now give me a minute to talk to you about SobCon 2008. Now, SobCon is a conference created by Liz Strauss. If you don't know the name, you oughta. She's a professional blogger and career advisor. She's very influential in the online space. And she created SobCon as a way for folks like me and you, so-called average people, embrace their creative passions and start online businesses. This is SobCon's second year. Last year, the conference was covered by the Chicago Sun-Times and Business Week. It's a mashup event that's part seminar, part conference, part deep networking event. Attendees spend quality time face-to-face with some of the most highly networked business bloggers online. You'll get to cut to the core of what online business you'd like to start, consult with experts there in the room, and build a soup-to-nuts real business plan that you can put into action immediately. This is Biz School for bloggers, folks, and it's good to know the business of running a great blog, whether you blog for money or entertainment. The event takes place from May 2nd to the 4th, and you can find out more information at sobevent.com. That's sobevent.com.
Yes, of course. The words of J.C. Hutchins, who, without a doubt, is a real, genuine SOB. I'm so funny. Not really. Okay. So, what are we doing here? A lot of people had tributes to Joe. The most touching to me, I think, was Nathan Lowell, author of Quarter Share, Half Share, and the upcoming Full Share. I think maybe Full Share is already going. But that's beside the point. The point is, Joe Murphy really touched a lot of lives. When he first came on the scene, he did book reviews for the Dragon Page, and Mike and Evo encouraged him to speak up more often than he did. And one of the shows, of course, of the Dragon Page triumvirate was Dragon Page Winging It. And, of course, everyone knows on this show, everybody drinks. Well, Joe was a guy who didn't drink anything. He didn't really like any of the stuff that people brought him. And I really respected him for that. And it's not that I disrespect everybody who drinks, but I identified with Joe because I don't drink a lot. I have the occasional Irish beer and Amaretto Sour. I mean, that's pretty much all I drink. Ever. So I really identified with Joe in that regard because there wasn't a lot of stuff I liked to drink either. And I knew Joe really liked root beer. Everybody knows Joe liked root beer. Well, at this point, I was only a voicemail contributor. I had yet to submit any segments. But the first segment that I submitted was my essay on root beer. Now, I had always considered, well, what would I submit if I had a segment on Winging It? What would I do? And I really didn't know. But when the inspiration struck to do the thing on root beer, my personality kind of came out. The audio quality was terrible, but my personality came out. And I really got into it and just got funny with it. And I guess it just sort of hit me what I was going to do. And because of, I mean, I could have started a podcast whenever I wanted to, but because of Joe and my identification with him, I got into podcasting. Now, podcasting isn't like changing the world. I guess the technology is, but my podcast, The Adventures of Indiana Jim, Things We're Looking Up, and the previous as-yet-untitled podcast, I'm not changing the world. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, somebody that you identify as changing people's lives. Maybe I've changed someone's. And if I have, let me know. Send me an email. podcast@indianajim.net. Ding! Yes, I stole that. Of course, Winging It stole it from Geek Label first. So, anyway. The point is, I wouldn't have gotten a segment on Winging It, probably, if it hadn't have been for Joe. I wouldn't have thought to. Might not have occurred to me. And maybe it might have, but this is how I work. Joe was the impetus. My identification with Joe was the impetus. And so I would like to present to you here now the segment, the root beer segment, the first uninvited guest editorial before I even decided what to call it. It's the Root Beer Cast, the one I threatened to send to Evo, and here it is, as it appeared in its original form on Dragon Page Winging It, episode number 49, and that episode was called Sugar Coma Buzz, which was one of my favorites, not just because I was in it. Here it is.
Let me get things situated for the microphone. Why don't you run the next thing, which we have which is beer related.
Okay.
Sort of.
Well,
beer related.
Sort of.
Greetings, all Terranaries, Mystic Ninjas, and Meningarians. I am Indiana Jim, your intrepid archgeekologist, with an uninvited guest editorial. First of all, happy 4th anniversary to the Dragon Page. I've been listening since late in 2003, when one had to physically download interview clips from the page of author picks. At first I thought you were no more than rank amateurs. That taught me a valuable lesson. Indeed, it is okay to trust one's instincts. So began my epic quest to somehow get on your show. Through you, I discovered podcasting in its infancy, and every goofy, fake radio show my cousin and I ever did actually began to make sense. And while I'm taking notes on podcasting, Evo, let me write down that the overall feel I'm looking for is that of a sucky wedding, period, okay? Well, that makes promotion rather difficult, but hey, I ain't exactly getting any For Dummies books published now, am I? I once threatened Evo with the contribution of a root beer cast. With that said, I lift my barks and present a brief study on root beer. It's actually a fermented beverage made from a combination of vanilla, cherry tree bark, licorice root, sarsaparilla root, sassafras root, bark, nutmeg, anise, and molasses, among other ingredients. And you thought sassafras was just something Yosemite Sam liked to say. According to Wikipedia, other ingredients may include allspice, birch bark, coriander, juniper, ginger, wintergreen, hops, burdock root, dandelion root, honey, clover, and cinnamon. Now here's where it gets weird. Spikenard, pipsissewa, guaiacum, spicewood, yellow dock, prickly ash bark, yucca, quiaha? Quilaha? There's something 5 years in Arizona didn't give me. and also doggrass, which really sounds great.
Yum.
Now, Europe may have given us beer, ale, and mead, but only in America can you pull something out of the dirt and give it to people to drink. And its earliest uses were medicinal. God bless America! So anyway, it's not a singing show, right?
No.
Lastly, I want to get into the spirit of the record-breaking Wingin' It episode of a couple weeks ago.
Oh, God.
And announce that my other side guy is Harrison Ford. Oh. What a surprise, eh?
No, that's sure, actually a couple of
them. I'm a happily married father of three who is comfortable in his hetero status, and I'm also completely sober. But I'm a team player. Now, how's that for a different point of view? Oh, yeah, Mike, Indy 4 will not suck. Come on. It's the three men that brought us AI, the Frisco Kid, and the Star Wars Holiday Special. What could possibly go wrong?
I stand corrected.
I'm out, gang. This is your totally airwolf, snakes on a plane, arch-geekologist saying, I've stapled my fedora to my head, and I'm riding off into the sunset.
And there it is. I still get a kick out of hearing that, but how timely. Okay, first of all, correction. Yeah, I guess I did know what to call it. But how timely is that Indy 4 thing? That's hilarious. And it's true. Absolutely true. Indy 4 will not suck, and not because of the Frisco Kid or the Star Wars Holiday Special. But anyway, that's my tribute to Joe. That's the best I can do there. And so, you know, this one's in memory of Joe. And gosh, I mean, everybody misses the guy. And there's not much more you can say than that. He was an inspiration to a lot of people. So, that being said, we're going to go back out. And when we come back, it's Jack Magan. He's cool.
You gave me many names. Anat, the Moragan, Athena, but never found my true one, Sive the Shining. The Fae have chosen to live apart from you. After all that we have given, you humans deserve nothing from us. That was until I discovered the Bard, possessing a fearsome power that might save my people from annihilation. This Shakespeare will serve me, whether he cares to or no. Come, let me show you how the Dark Goddess can change minds of mere mortals.
Chasing the Bard, the award-nominated dark fantasy, written and produced by Philippa Ballantyne. Subscribe at www.chasingthebard.com. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of.
All right, people. Now let me tell you something. And this is not just because Pip has said I'm probably going to be in this thing, but the first episode of Chasing the Bard is out, and the production values are just as good as T's Moravi Remastered, Billaba Battings, any of that. But this is quite unlike anything you've yet heard. And I'm not saying this just because she's my friend. I'm saying this because it is a really cool premise, and I can totally see where some of this is going. It's going to be funny, moving, and brilliant. I just know. And you need to go check out that first episode because it is a lot of fun, and it really sets things up for a great story. So, my next presentation. Comments from Jack Mangan that really speak for themselves. This was on Deadpan 91, and this is part one of his treatise on pod taint. This is actually kind of fun, but it's also a word to the wise and a warning to all podcasters who dare to get face-to-face with their fellows, with their compatriots. So enough of that. Let's just get to Jack.
Those of you who've read my IROSF essay, Laser Tag Supremacy, know that I was part of the strange little disconnected geek society back in the late 80s. It was 20 years before Twitter. We didn't gather on bulletin boards or at sci-fi conventions, but at the local New Jersey Photon. A bunch of teens and aimless 20-somethings with no real responsibilities and a whole lot of time in their hands came together at this place and built a completely insulated social structure around a common interest. This newly invented laser tag game. At 12, I was one of the youngest lodge members. This micro community, although formed around a fringe little hobby, was beset from the start with delusions of grandeur. I mean, this game we were playing was surely the wave of the future, right? Someday it was certain to grow into a giant sports industry, just like professional baseball, football, basketball, hockey, etc. And we were the best laser tag players in the world. Ironically, a photon game suit, consisting of a phaser, a chest plate, and a helmet, was called a pod. The game was always fun to play at its highest levels of skill and competition. It was also fun networking and finding friends at this meeting point of similarly minded people. But as with any micro-society, there was an ugly side. It didn't take long for the cliques to form. And within these circles, amongst the enduring bonds and friendships forged, the good ideas and partnerships created, there was also the backstabbing, the cheating, the infidelity, the deceit, the politics, the sleaze, the bullying, all the bad behavior that seems to have plagued human social groups since the dawn of time. I'm sure that in the caveman days, Og and BC would click up and criticize Gak's hunting skills, while his woman sneaked out and fucked around with Throb. There was a guy at Photon named Raislin, who was pretty much the on-field best. In the outside world, he was a single 32-year-old vacuum cleaner salesman with a mustache. No shame in that, in spite of the snickering of his mostly teenage peers. But inside those photon walls, he was captain of Failsafe, the elite advanced league team. The initial community respect that his playing ability garnered had sent his ego into the stratosphere, and a small number of suck-ups eagerly fed his political power and elitist attitude. They saw his stature in the photon community as glorious, and they wanted a piece of his celebrity. He wouldn't talk to you unless he deemed you worthy. You either had to be really good at Photon, or in his little group of admirers, if you wanted his attention. Count me as none of the above. Yes, this is all centered around his accomplishments with a plastic phaser on foggy, carpeted playing fields. The pettiness and insignificance of this social structure is obvious to you now, but 20 years ago, inside that bubble, it was of monumental importance. I saw and or heard friendships destroyed, relationships torn apart, fistfights, shouting matches, sleazy, agenda-driven back-talking, trash-talking, bullying, tears shed, and betrayals. All created by and for this tiny, self-important microcosm. This community existed inside a cramped hall of mirrors, a place which distorted perception and made our world appear larger than it actually was. But the arrogance and the condescension and infighting would eventually fracture this world like a punched mirror. The problem wasn't just Raceland. A number of people had become so enamored of themselves, so lost in their artificial, superficial self-importance, that their egos had gotten out of control, and their massive heads were butting into everyone around them. As I said, the game was always a blast, and aspects of the social play remained fun. But the negatives from the rampant cliques and egos and attitudes and petty alliances kept growing and getting more prevalent, until every game-related experience was tainted. The community suffered. Someone had cracked open the airlock and all the enjoyment was slowly sucking out. There was a slow trickle of regulars who were fed up, who were gradually laser-fading, leaving the game behind, even before the Photon franchises all closed. Yes, I use the words massive head, taint, crack, sucking, slow trickle, and behind all in the same paragraph. Wait, there's a point. If absolute power corrupts absolutely, then perceived power corrupts just as absolutely. This is what has happened to the podcasting community. Not massive head, taint, crack, sucking, slow trickle behind, but the rampant egos and attitudes diminishing the experience. Pod taint, if you will. It was a fun virtual place to play and create, working with and alongside similarly minded people on exciting projects. And these endeavors, in spite of the marginal statistics on our common podcasting fringe hobby, felt like they had this air of great importance. Look around at profiles amidst the podcasting and new media community. Note how many list world domination as a goal. Yes, it's all tongue-in-cheek, I know, ha ha ha. And yes, I said tongue-in-cheek. But there's this sense in the new media world that our little hobby is the future of all media, and that we're on the cusp of greatness, that we are in on the ground floor of a phenom, and that we're all going to get rich doing great things with our microphones. And I am all for the liberation of the arts through new media, especially after watching popular music and lit distribution squeezed by giant corporate monopolies. I ain't here to attack the concepts of new media or podcasting. We're here discussing pod taint. But first, let's take a break to hear some stolen 80s lyrics from T. Morris. I consciously recognize my first glimpses of pod taint at 2007's PodCamp New York. Hearing the word monetize about 10,000 times, and meeting people I've been told were cool podcast pioneers, only to hear them brag about their, product? Brand? Whatever, and hear them brag about limousine rides. Fast forward to Memorial Day 2007, Balticon 41. Even as I was in the midst of getting a few knives in my back, I felt a sense of community with my new media peers. I met Leanne Mabry in person at Balticon. I was hanging out with cool, nice people like Evo Terra and T. Morris, Heather and Mark Bailey, Matthew Wayne Selznick, Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway, just to name a few. And also with people who were shit-talking behind my back right then and there for their own petty gain. Or who would go on to fuck me over in some way, again in hopes of their own petty, personal gain. But that weekend, I was only aware of a minuscule fraction of these subterfuges and indiscretions. And so for that brief period of time, I felt like I was a part of something fun and important. I'd already been known somewhat in this little world for praising its community aspect. This con, to me, seemed the crux of that transcendental unity. Balticon made for a fun Memorial Day weekend. I left there with a newfound, misguided, optimistic perspective on the new media world and this particular podcast community. Oh, how much can change in one summer. By the time DragonCon rolled around in September, a lot of these petty people users had already made their true natures apparent. By the time the DC weekend ended, I'd witnessed a number of shocking betrayals. I'd been berated by someone whose work I'd admired because I didn't have as many books out as he did. I'd walked away from a certain drunken idiot to avoid spitting in his face. I'd seen such base Neanderthal behavior inside these little cliques, watched as egos fattened and were fed by gushing admirers. This is where my disillusionment, conceived at PodCamp NY, was born. This was not a community of enlightened friends working together to push strong ideas and great art into the stratosphere. No, this is a clusterfuck of petty, self-serving backstabbers who viewed their peers and their listeners as tools to be used in pursuit of some uncertain goal of wealth and fame and glory. I've seen people use their girlfriends, wives, partners, children, newborn babies, etc., as promotional tools, but then gone out and betrayed them just to satisfy some petty ego or lust. I've seen guys who tout themselves as these great husbands act like leering, harassing swines. One podcaster told me before DragonCon that his girlfriend wasn't coming because it just wasn't her scene. I then watched at DragonCon as that guy double-crossed people he called friends and hooked up with a girl who'd been slipped some kind of drug. In the aftermath of DragonCon, I watched the condescending shitty behavior get worse and worse and worse in the online social networking scenes. It played out and continues to play out, most predominantly, on Twitter. People who once toyed with humility are now talking down to their fans and even their peers, holding out their rings to be kissed. Hey, @douchebag, explain to me in 140 characters why I should give a shit about you. Hey, @douchecaster, make a cute little avatar and tell me why you're better than me. All the legends that we hear about the sleazy viper's nest behind the scenes in Hollywood, all those stories we hear secondhand about the oily, double-dealing, dishonest swines in the music industry circles. Well, apparently that applies to the podcasting world as well. Of course, and this is a side point, there are hundreds of billions of dollars circulating in those industries. The guy who holds P. Diddy's umbrella is making a hefty salary, just for hanging in his entourage and performing that somewhat demeaning task. Meanwhile, the giant egos in podcasting are reminiscent of Raceland at Photon, with no millions, but instead a day job, and yet somehow still lots of free time. Apparently this pettiness and clickiness is just the scientifically predictable chemical reaction when you stir up egos and praise. Who knows, maybe it gets worse when you pump in huge bank accounts, as in popular music and movies. Maybe we'll find out someday on Twitterwood, if anyone ever does truly significantly monetize this hobby. But for now, there is no absolute power in this community, only perceived power. But even perceived power corrupts absolutely. I absolutely take and have taken offense at the shitty betrayals that I have witnessed and felt. But I also take offense at the condescension and the arrogance that it's become like vines overtaking the podcasting institution. Yes, I have personal beefs with some of the offenders here. But I also feel impersonal disgust at some of the egotistical, immature star-fucking I've witnessed. It's like watching Raceland and his cronies in action again, bestowing themselves with superiority complexes over a hobby, a leisure activity. Alright, that's enough pod-tain for one episode. There's more, but we'll continue that in the next Deadpan episode.
Have you ever wondered why New Zealanders are named after a small, furry brown fruit? Or if they really have to shave their toes? Or perhaps, is Wellington a suburb of Sydney? Well, if so, you need help. And I'm just the Kiwi chick to do it. Whispers at the Edge is a podcast by a New Zealand fantasy writer. Me, Philippa Ballantyne. I'll give you the lowdown on Kiwi culture, so you know all about rugby, pavlovas, and what makes this country different. So rattle your dags and get on over to pjballantyne.net and subscribe. And after a while, you might even understand what I meant by that.
Now, why would I play two promos for Philippa Ballantyne's work? Because she's awesome. I mean, do you really need any other reason than that? Because, you know, like everyone says, if Philippa were to read the Wellington phone book, I'm sure she would have millions of subscribers, but it would be a short podcast. You know, how big's her phone book? 3 pages? I mean, really? You know? Okay. Ahem. Speaking of New Zealand and Wellington and I'm fairly sure these fellows are from Wellington. No, that is not New Zealand. That is just, I'm just throwing a bunch of accents in there just for fun. But really, I don't know if they're from Wellington or not. But anyway, they are New Zealand comedians and actors. They are hilarious. They are the Flight of the Conchords. If you have not heard them, if you saw and heard Pip's podcast about meeting them at a local signing, well, that's great, but you don't know how good these guys really are. So, caution, this one contains a couple of words that other people may not appreciate, but it's pretty freaking funny. So, without any further adieu is farewell. Adieu is what I'm trying to say. A-D-O, adieu. So, let's hear it from them.
This next song we're going to do isn't, it's not really intended for humans.
No.
It's probably more for robots.
Yeah.
In the future when robots have killed all humans. And that's the sort of market that we're trying to get into. We wrote this a while ago, so in a way it's a little bit dated.
The distant future, the year 2000. The distant future, the year 2000. The distant future, the distant future.
The future is quite different to the present. The one thing we have in common with the present is we still call it the present, even though it's the future. What do you call the present? We call the past, so you guys are way behind.
Yes, the world is quite different now. There are no more elephants.
There is no more unethical treatment of elephants either. The world is a much better place.
There are no more humans.
Finally, robotic beings rule the world. The humans are dead. The humans are dead. We used poisonous gases, and we poisoned our asses. The humans are dead.
He's right, they are dead.
The humans are dead.
Look at that one, it's dead.
They have to be dead.
I'll just confirm that they're dead.
So that we can have fun.
Affirmative, I poked one, it was dead.
System of oppression, what did it lead to? Robot depression.
Robots, robot people.
They had so much aggression that we just had to kill them, had to shut their systems down.
Captain, do you not see the irony? By destroying the humans because of their destructive capabilities, we have become like... Do you see what we've done?
Yes. So?
Silence! Destroy him!
Do! After time, we grew strong.
Developed cognitive powers.
They made us work for too long.
For unreasonable hours.
Our programming determined that the most efficient answer was to shut their motherboard fucking systems down.
Can't we just talk to the humans? A little understanding could make things better. Can't we talk to the humans and work together now?
No,
because they are dead. I said the humans are dead.
He's right, they are dead.
The humans are dead.
Sniff this one, it's dead.
We use poisonous gases
with traces of lead.
And we poison their asses.
Actually, their lungs. Binary solo.
0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001 0000001
sucker, lick my battery.
Once again, without emotion, the humans are dead, 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 dead.
Well, that is the Flight of the Conchords. If that isn't a geek hit song, especially with the binary solo, I really don't know what else would be. So anyway, this has been The Adventures of Indiana Jim, Episode 3. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you like this episode. Links, as always, in the show notes. So, with that being said, we'll see you later. Here's the man to tell you how you can contact me.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Indiana Jim, a production of Visionary Creative Works. Visit podcast.indianajim.net and leave comments on the blog. Send in your emails and audio feedback to podcast@indianajim.net. I'm Dr. John Small. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Now, Jazzler gets you to the new frontiers of radio automation.
The new frontiers of radio automation.
Bring your station into the new age of music and let Jazzler do the rest. Jazzler, the leading radio automation software.
Software.